Good morning. Welcome to Revive. My name is Louise Ball, and today I'm going to talk to you about how we are connected to God and to each other, because I'm hoping that through the day we're going to strengthen and celebrate and enjoy those connections. And I brought along I haven't brought them along, other people have brought them along for me. Two patchwork quilts. I hope you can see them. This one was made by Rian, and this one was made by Grandma Chickens, Caroline's mother-in-law, Anne. This one's made by Rian, and this one is made by Anne. Sorry. And the idea of a patchwork quilt is to make something practical and beautiful using different pieces of fabric. And originally, of course, they used whatever was available. Nothing was wasted, everything was included. So patchwork quilts really told the story of someone's life. And I think each of us is like a patchwork quilt, being sewn together by God. Every part of our lives, every encounter, every experience. And in that aspect, we are all unique. But also, we share bits of the same fabric. We're all women here today. That's something we can really celebrate. This is a connection between us that needs to be strong. I'm glad we have a day just for women. But I think as we chat this morning and through the day, there'll be lots of other connections. Maybe a place that you've been, a person you know, did you go to the same school, whatever it is. I remember when I introduced my husband, well, he was my boyfriend then, I introduced my boyfriend to my flatmate at uni, and they started talking and they realised they'd both been at the same concert years before. On the same night, in the same room, they were at the same gig. And then, as we carried on talking, Russell mentioned this guy that he was at uni with and he'd made friends with and he was hanging around with, and she went, oh, I went to school with him. It's crazy, the connections. Let's take some time today to think and talk about these connections, because we are connected to each other, but we're also connected to God. We have all of his attention all of the time, and he never stops working on the quilt, whether we believe in him or not, whether we know it or not, whether we acknowledge him or not, whether we give him lots of attention or not very much. He is always working. It's still true. It doesn't just start when you become a Christian. It starts at conception in the womb. God sewing your quilt together. When you become a Christian, it's just when you realize that. You realize you've got a connection to God. You realize that Jesus came to strengthen that connection. In fact, Jesus is the connection that we have with God. And because of that, nothing can separate us from God's love. So when you think about it, really, we're not just a patchwork quilt, we're a king-size patchwork quilt made by a king for a king. We're never alone. God wants us to believe that, to be mindful of it, and to share it. And if I go to my Bible, that really is just the story of how Jesus connects us to God. It's his story. It's our story. So, for example, in Isaiah 43, you probably know this quite well, God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And he was reminding them, I've done it before, I'll do it again. This still speaks true for us today. Some of us here are struggling with a new season of life. There's been a change. Maybe it was a change you wanted. A new job, a new baby, a new house. You've been to uni, you've retired. Maybe it was a change you didn't want. An illness, a bereavement, a divorce. You've lost your job. Whether it's a change we want or a change we don't want, so often in these new seasons, we feel alone, we start to withdraw, we become isolated. We can't do what we used to do. Maybe now we can't do what everyone else can do. And I don't know about you, but when I feel alone, this rapidly deteriorates into leave me alone. We end up pushing people away, pushing God away. But God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And this goes back to the Hebrews coming out of Egypt. Story of Moses. So the Hebrews were slaves. They needed to come out of Egypt. Maybe you needed to get out of a toxic relationship or a toxic situation. You needed to come out. But of course, now that's left you quite cut off and isolated at the moment. Well, God was with them. He parted the Red Sea to prove that he was with them. They didn't go over it, they went through it. But I wonder whether they were having some of the same feelings. You know, they've gone through the Red Sea, they're sort of part way through, and they can't see the end. So you don't know what's coming when there's a change. And was this the right decision? I can't see what's coming, but I can see this huge bank of water, and I can hear it, and, well, I've come too far now, and I can't really turn back, and, whoa, well, the Egyptians are coming. So the option of going back, that's not there. Change is scary. But you can deal with change. God is with you. Look at your quilt. Think about what he's done for you before. Well, some people here would give anything for a change. I'm so frustrated. It's just the same. There doesn't seem like the change that I want will ever come. I feel held back, pushed down. I'm sinking. Some of us are finding life completely overwhelming at the moment. I'm drowning. I'm losing who I am. The person I used to be is just so far that that person's being swept away. And you look okay to everyone else. And everyone else looks okay to you. That's how it works, isn't it? God says, when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. You will not drown. Joshua had to lead God's people out into the promised land, but they've got to get across the River Jordan. And that's some river. It's 15 miles wide and up to 200 feet deep in places. This was some river. And they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, this big, beautiful box that contained the Ten Commandments, the two stone tablets. And they've got to get the Ark across as well. Surely they would drown. They would get swept away. But no, God told them, I'll be with you. And the minute they stepped into the river, God held back the water. It piled up in a heap, the Bible says. He parted the Red Sea, he did it again. He did it once, he'll do it again, and he'll do it again, and he'll do it again. It was not a one-off. And he wanted them to take the Ark of the Covenant right into the middle of the river and to hold it there, until everybody had gone through. Why? This is so precious. Because the Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence with them. I will be with you. Keep your focus on me. Keep your focus on me. Test me. Believe me. You just keep your focus on me and everything will work. You know, they even took rocks out of the bottom of the river to keep as a reminder. And, you know, I think we need to do that sometimes, because how often, oh, yes, God was with me, God was with me. And then a few weeks later, months, years, you're telling this story or reminding yourself and the God bits got forgotten. Yeah, it was just, oh, it just happened, or I did. Let's remember what God has done for us. We're not going to drown. You're not going to drown. God is with you, but we need to keep our focus on him. And one of the ways that I can get my focus back on God is to go to a spacious place. And I'm using that phrase because it comes from the Bible. I got the idea from David. David, King David, was very, very good at reminding himself, this is what God is like. This is what he's done before. And I can cope and he loves me and all those sorts of things. And in 2 Samuel 22, verse 20, and you can also read this in Psalm 18, if that's easier to remember. He said it like this. The Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. David reminded himself that God really loved him. He got all that love and support waiting for him. But isn't it interesting? He didn't just say he brought me out, he rescued me. He said he brought me out into a spacious place. And as I read it, I had this feeling it wasn't just literally, but mentally and spiritually as well. God wants us to connect with him and sometimes have a time out. So when I feel like I'm drowning, sometimes I go to a spacious place. I can go anytime I like, as often as I like. I can stay there as long as I need to, maybe just for an instant, or maybe for quite a long time. And I'm going to show you what that means, so you don't want to know if I'm talking about. I'm just going to go through it quite quickly, but if you want to, you can do this with me in your mind. So you just put life on pause. Stop. And in your mind, go somewhere where you're free. Totally free. And somewhere else. Wow, just relax, just catch my breath. Oh, wow, that's lovely. And if there's time, I like to really, really settle into the place. What does it look like? Because the place you're imagining is completely different to what's in my head. So what does it look like? What does it feel like? What are the colours? Ooh, just really relax into that place. Oh, this is nice. Time out. Become aware of your own body posture. What are you doing? Are you moving? Are you still? Did you get there and want to just fling your arms out? Or did you get there and want to flop on the floor? Did you want to burst into tears? I don't know. And where's Jesus? Because this is going to a spacious place with Jesus. I've gone to find Jesus and connect. Where's Jesus? What's Jesus doing? How is he interacting with you? This is a form of prayer. This is connecting to God. That's all prayer is. And the more I do it, I find the better I get. So that sometimes I just go there for an instant when I'm really panicking and I don't know what to do, or in a minute something bad's going to come out of my mouth. I need a time out. I need Jesus. And I can just go there in my head. Whew, just give me a minute to catch my breath. Just tell me you love me. Just calm me down. So I couldn't do it just instantly, but I like to go there and stay there. I might go back again tomorrow or next week. I like to write it down. I might talk to a friend about it, a Christian friend. And I always go to my Bible and see whether what I'm imagining in my head, how does that fit with what the Bible says? It's really useful. I find it a really useful technique. God said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. And of course here, he's referring back to Daniel tied up and thrown into a furnace of fire with his friends. There are people here, I know because he told me, sorry. There are people here that are going through unimaginable things, desperate situations, such pain. You don't know whether you can survive this. It's a real test of your faith. I bet it was a real struggle to get here. But I'm so glad that you are here. I'm so glad you're here for this lovely day, but I'm glad that you're here to hear me say, God is with you. He sees you, he knows, he is with you. He was with Daniel. I don't know whether Daniel was aware of it, but the king who thrown him in there, he saw an extra person in the fire. And he knew it was God, the one and true God, and he was so scared he let them out. God is with you. He was with Daniel. He was with me 14 months ago. I had a cancer scare. I had to have a wound biopsy. The appointment came through within a week. And the procedure was done really badly. I was treated appallingly. I was left in a lot of physical pain and I had PTSD. And then the results didn't come for weeks and my GP had to chase them up. And when they did come, it said, yes, this is okay. You know, we think things are all right. But then a few weeks later, I got a letter that totally contradicted that and said, no, things aren't all right. It was full of very long medical terms. Things are not all right and you need to have this procedure again in a few months' time. But God had given me a connection to someone really helpful. My friend's daughter, some of you know her, Sophie, is a highly qualified doctor. She works down in London. She's very qualified in this particular field. I think she works now more with the babies and the pregnancy, but she was somebody that I could talk to. And I had her phone number in my phone. It was random. I've never texted her, I've never phoned her, but just a chance thing from way back meant I'd ended up with her phone number so I could contact her directly. And I spoke to her and she was brilliant. She really got it. She really helped me. And I tried to just cling on to the fact that maybe I wouldn't need this procedure. So I kept telling myself it was bad time. And weeks went on and then I had more symptoms. What they told me were symptoms. And I literally, I'll definitely have to have the procedure then. And I just can't. And I was in a ball on the floor, crying and shaking. But God had given me another connection. A friend of mine had talked to me about this brilliant therapist she had that had really, really helped her with something. So I texted her. I got the number of the therapist. I called the therapist. She's very, very busy. COVID, the rest of it. I probably haven't got an appointment. Let me just look. Oh, I've got one tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. I spoke to this woman. I knew it was going to be, you know, we were going to have quite a few sessions. Two sessions. Two sessions was all it took. And she got me to a place where I could actually engage with what had happened. I could talk about it and I could now go on the internet and find myself another doctor. If I'd got to have this procedure, I would go to someone else and we'd start the process again. Get back some control. I got on the internet There's thousands of these people. And I'm thinking, how do I choose? They've all got the right qualifications. Something just drew me to this one particular guy. And I thought, I don't know, just feel good about that. Yes, I'm going to do it. And I booked the appointment. And I went to see him. And he said, you didn't need that procedure. There's nothing wrong with you at all. If you'd have been my patient, I wouldn't have given you the procedure. But you've had it, and now we've got the proof. These are your results. There is nothing wrong with you, and the only thing you need to do is try and put this behind you. I'm very sorry that this happened to you. Thank you, Jesus. So I went back to Sophie, and I said, it's all great, and I was telling her because, you know, the doctor who'd helped me. And she said, oh, and who did you see? Because obviously she's very well connected, she knows these people. And I gave her his name, and she went, oh, Louise, he's one of the top people. How did you get an appointment with him? I didn't know he was in Birmingham. Oh, you couldn't have seen anyone better. Whatever he said to you, you can believe every word. If he says you're all right, you're all right. God was with me. I can see it now. He connected me to the right people. Those connections were already there. They connected me to two more people. I now have a therapist. I have a specialist. If anything else happens, I'm not feeling so bad about it. I was not alone. Daniel wasn't alone. You are not alone. But through those long weeks and months, the only way really I got to connect with God, I have to say, was through my Bible. It was through scriptures. It was such a comfort to me to go to the Bible and read the promises, the wisdom, to get some truth. Bible verses that were in my head. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon fashioned against me will prosper. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. The 23rd Psalm. I look to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord. It comes. These verses, he would speak to me and bring these verses to mind. It was such a comfort. It was like having a friend giving you some advice. A father saying, it's all right. I'm with you. I'm with you. And I think this is the benefit of practicing what I call mindfulness. It's not mindfulness. This is an idea, again, that I got from the Bible and what I call mindfulness. The Bible tells us it's not good to have your head full of negative stuff, fear and anger and guilt and worry. And the way to get rid of it is to fill your head on purpose with good stuff. Put so much good stuff in that it drives out the bad. There's no room for the bad. We need the good. You need good stuff in your head. And this is an idea I got from St. Paul, Philippians 4 verse 8. And he says, when you're anxious or fearful, pray. Okay, well, we talked about that. Connect with God. The Lord is near. He said, yes, we've done that. But he added on, and whatever is true, whatever is just, whatever is right, whatever is wholesome, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things, and the God of peace will be with you. He doesn't say you'll have peace. He says the God of peace will be with you. When you think about the good stuff and have your attention on the good things, you'll realise that he's with you. It's a way of knowing that. So not just in the stressful times, and believe me, I do this. I sometimes just make myself think of something good on purpose. But in the in-between times, just generally, let's be more focused on the issues of justice and truth. Let's be more, giving more of our attention to wholesome stuff that feeds us with all the right things. When it says, think about things that are lovely, actually that's translated really badly, because when you dig into it, what it really means is things that bring you peace, a peace that you can give to other people. Get your head full of good stuff. Generally, give more attention to the positive things, what God is doing, the godly thoughts, the godly ways. I can share with you, you know, I mean, let's think about happy things. Think about funny things. I've got a funny story for you. On my honeymoon, Russell was sitting next to me in this sort of swinging deck chair thing. And 1 minute he was there, and the next minute he flipped over and he was actually just in the hedge. And all I could see was 2 feet. It was absolutely hilarious. I was laughing. And then we started to realise he was stuck, and we laughed even more, and we had to go and get him out, and he was laughing. Whenever I think of that, it just cheers me up. Whenever I share it with other people, it makes them laugh. That's what this morning is about. Our quilts are full of happy and precious times. Let's share them. They're there for us to look at, to cheer ourselves up. They're there to cheer other people up. The happy stuff, the good stuff. But what's so crazy is that God is able to sow in the sad and the difficult times as well. God doesn't do those things to us. They're not his intention. He didn't want that to be part of your will. He didn't want me to have that horrible procedure. That's not him. And yet, he is able to work all things together for the good of those who love him, those who realise it. That's what he's doing. He's able to sew these things into our quilt so that they become part of our beauty and our strength and our warmth. That's what he's doing with me, with this thing, you know, my procedure thing.
Yeah.
I felt like I was broken. I used that word about myself. My quilt had been torn apart. I could not see how he would ever sew that patch into me. I was never going to be the same again. But he has, and he is still sewing it in. He is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Why? Because he's building one big quilt. He's sewing one big quilt. He wants your quilt joined to my quilt, all joined into just one big quilt, a super king size quilt that only the King of Kings could ever imagine. All of us are essential. All of us are valued. Together, we can bring even more warmth and strength and beauty and comfort to the people who are feeling isolated, overwhelmed, and broken. I really hope I've inspired you this morning to go now and talk about the good and the God-made good patches of your quilt. Celebrate the connections you've got. Make new ones. Have a lovely day. God bless. Amen.